public reading of God's Word. I want to read a portion of one verse of Scripture to you this morning. And then I want to draw some thoughts from that and build upon it. I hope you'll give me your attention. This is something that I had every intention of sharing with you last Sunday. But of course, you understand God took everything a different direction, and I wanted to be able to talk to you, all of us here together, as many as possible, about this subject here this morning. And so we're just going to work our way through it. You'll understand in just a moment. Look in verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter 6. The Bible here declares to us, in the year that King Uzziah died. May I read it again? In the year that King Uzziah died. That'll be sufficient right now. And you may be seated for this moment, but I want you to wrap your mind around that little phrase, in the year that King Uzziah died. I want you to get that in your heart, because I want to speak to you this morning for a little while on this subject and upon this thought. And listen closely, please. It's been a bad year. It's been a bad year. Looking, of course, back to 2021. Now the new year is dawned. I understand that. But looking back at 2021, it's been a bad year. Holy Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you one more time. You've shown us your grace and your mercy and how real that it has been to us. Thankful, Lord, that we're able to come together in your house and worship you today. I pray that you would take these words, dear Father, in your word and make them real in our hearts. Change us, I pray, for the glory of God. I do pray for the children downstairs, that the gospel would go forth and people would be saved in this place as well, that lives would be changed and affected, and that we would see God in a fresh way as we never had before. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. I ran across this back a few days ago, and I felt like that it was appropriate, having to do with a bad day. You may know that you're having a bad day when you put both contact lenses in the same eye. You can know that you're having a bad day when your twin sister forgets your birthday. You can know that you're having a bad day when you wake up and your braces are stuck together. You can know that you're having a bad day when it costs more to fill your car up with gas than it did to actually buy it in the first place. You can know that you're having a bad day when your horn sticks on the freeway behind a gang of 32 Hell's Angels motorcycle gang. You can know you're having a bad day when you wake up to realize that your waterbed is leaking, only to understand that you don't have a waterbed. That's a bad day right there. You know you're having a bad day when the worst player on the golf course wants to play you for money. You know you're having a bad day when your birthday cake collapses under the weight of the candles. That happened to you this year, didn't it, Tony? You know that's a bad day. You know you're having a bad day when you turn on the evening news only to notice that they are showing you emergency routes out of your city. That's a bad day. You know you're having a bad day when your four-year-old tells you that it is almost impossible, to flush a grapefruit down your toilet. You know you're having a bad day when the bird singing outside your window is a vulture. You know you're having a bad day when you call your own answering service and you are told that it is none of your business. You know you're having a bad day when your income tax return check bounces. That's probably more real than we really even want to consider. Do you know you're having a bad day when you call your wife and you tell her that you would like to eat out for dinner tonight, but upon your return home, you find a sandwich on the front porch? You know you're having a bad day then. You know you're having a bad day when you have to take from your Visa to pay off your MasterCard. You know you're having a bad day when everyone else is laughing but you. We've all been there before, haven't we? I'm so thankful that due to God's grace, we can laugh about some of these things. Fact of the matter is, though, when it comes to having a bad day, or in this case this morning, a bad year that we're talking about, sometimes it just gets personal, doesn't it? It gets very real to us. The bottom line is, when it gets down to those particular issues of life, sometimes it's just not funny. And in our minds and in our lifetime, I don't think that any of us would disagree with me that there's not been many more bad years than that of which we've experienced in 2020. And then we saw something brand new in 2021, though, didn't we? I think we would all agree that to a degree in our own lifetimes, that it's just been a bad year. When we open God's Word right here to Isaiah chapter 6, I think that we find Isaiah experiencing some of these very same emotions perhaps that we have experienced over the previous 12 months. And Isaiah is coming to the point, and particularly when we read the words of verse number 1, we realize that Isaiah is saying it's been a bad year. It had been a time that had been more challenging and more difficult for this man of God, Isaiah, than that which he had ever experienced in his life. I heard a preacher make this statement not long ago about how that it's been a bad year. And the more that I thought about it, the more that I developed it in my mind, I began to think about how appropriate it could be to make that statement in so many of our lives based upon what so many of us have faced over 2021. So as we come and we open this brand new year, what I want you to do this morning is to reflect back and think about what all has happened in the previous year, and your mind is going to be overwhelmed because I want to share some thoughts with you this morning having to do with this. It's been a bad year. I want you to put your mind and your life in the mind and in the life of Isaiah. This was a great, a mighty man of God, but we see him here saying, it's been a bad year. And so therefore, when we look at this text and the life and the circumstances of Isaiah and everything that is going on, I want you to notice, first of all, the immensity of their success. The immensity, I-M-M-E-N-S-I-T-Y, the immensity of their success. We notice the Bible says in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now Uzziah, he was the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. Uzziah was by no means a perfect man. He had made his mistakes, as every one of us has certainly done as well. But overall, this was a good man. This was a good king God had used in a mighty way. This King Uzziah was a man who believed in God. He worshiped God and he served the living God. He also led his people in the same. And so therefore, as a result, God put his stamp of blessing upon Uzziah's reign as king of Judah. One of the things that God used Uzziah's leadership in was to bring people like the Philistines, the Arabians, the Ammonites, and other of God's people and all of their greatest enemies, to bring them under subjection. This brought peace into the Jewish nation in a way that they had never experienced before. And as a result of them bringing those enemies under subjection, King Uzziah was able to establish brand new trade deals that nobody ever in their region ever had before. This led to economic prosperity in the nation of Judah during this season of time. Uzziah was a man who also did away with all of the foreign idols, the ungodly, the false idols of the nation. Wouldn't it be great if America today, and even you and I in this place, would do away with all of the idols that are in our lives? You see, God used this man, Uzziah, to do away with all of the false gods and all of the idols. So therefore, there was a spiritual awakening, a great awakening of the things of God all through the nation. The people were seeing things change for God's glory, good things that were happening all across the nation, the economic prosperity, the spiritual awakening that was there. It was all due to a great leader, somebody who pointed them in the ways of God and the things of God. To put it in terms that we would all understand it today in 2022 that we are now in, is everyone who wanted a job had a job. Everyone had their needs and even their wants that were met. Everyone enjoyed peace and prosperity, not only from within their borders, but also from without their borders. Everyone could see a great spiritual awakening that was going on in the nation. There was never a greater outlook in the land than there was during this period. Think about this right now. King Uzziah reigned for 52 years on the throne in Judah. God used this man to do some mighty, mighty things. He was loved and respected by the people. He was feared and respected not only from his foes, but also from his friends. He was respected in every way. Simply put, There had been very few days in the whole nation of Judah, and maybe ever in the nation of Judah, that were greater than what they were experiencing during this time when King Uzziah was the king of the nation. Now listen, we don't always think about it this way because we get so hung up in all of the things that are overwhelming us, all of the problems, all of the issues, all of the struggles of life. And so often we don't think about it this way, but we need to understand that when it comes to you and I being able to live in the nation of prosperity and freedom that we are with the family and friends that we have, and when you set these things aside, we can certainly wrap ourselves right in the same category that Judah was under the leadership of King Uzziah. I know that it's not always easy living this life, and there's not a one of us here this morning that has a perfect situation and has a perfect life. But God, help each one of us to open our eyes and accept the reality that God has been so much better to us than that which we deserve. And it is our responsibility today to acknowledge that. And we need to embrace that with all of our heart. God has been so good to us. May we not ever forget that. God has been merciful and God has been good in so many ways. And we should embrace it because we never know when some of these blessings that we have right now could change. Things could change in a hurry because that's exactly what we see in the life and the ministry of Isaiah. And in the nation of Judah, there wasn't only the immensity of their success, but think also as well that we see right here that there was the immediacy or intensity of their struggle. Things were going great. We have to keep that in mind. There had never been greater days in the land of Judah than what they were experiencing right here in Isaiah chapter 6. But then news swept across the land that literally sent shockwaves through the people, shockwaves through the nation. I can see it right now as the media sources all across the nation of Judah, the nightly news comes on, the Comcast internet, the Fox News headlines, all comes to everybody's phone, and breaking news, it says, King Uzziah has died. King Uzziah is dead. The man that God had used in such a big way to bring all of these blessings to pass. The man that God had used to deliver all of these things. A man that was beloved by the people. A man that was a good king. He's gone. He's dead. His reign is effectively now over. 1 year, everything was going great. They were enjoying blessings that they had never seen, experiencing a move of God that they had never experienced because of the leadership of their king. But then the very next year, in what could have been really just a matter of days, everything suddenly seemed to change. The nation was thrust into turmoil. There was uncertainty that was everywhere. Judah learned in a hurry how fragile their freedom was, how fragile their greatness was. They learned in a hurry that the life that they loved and had come to expect and experience, they learned how fragile it really could be. We think about this right here, and we think about the immediacy of how things can change so quickly and the intensity of struggle that comes into our life, things that we've never experienced before as we've been enjoying God's goodness and the blessings of God that falls upon us. We look at this, and I think we see it in Judah's case in two particular ways, beginning with it all started with a political problem. There was a political problem in the year that King Uzziah died. Now we're remembering here this morning that Uzziah, he was the king that God had used for 52 years. Imagine that, 52 years of power. And in that time, he restored peace to the region. He restored order to it, greatness to it, economic prosperity to it, spiritual greatness as well. The nation was doing great. They never experienced anything in the Jewish nation any greater than what they were experiencing right now. And his leadership had brought a fear and a respect among the whole world to the little Jewish nation. You see, Uzziah was the king who put down terroristic threats. Uzziah was the king who brought economic prosperity to the entire region. Uzziah was the king who prevented sovereign invasions of sovereign nations that were there. Uzziah was the king who maintained spiritual things in the entire world. Uzziah was the leader that had brought all of that to pass. But now, with him gone, there was a vacuum in the leadership of the world. Their then known world, particular their region, there was a vacuum in that leadership. Their adversaries, they were cheering. They were finding ways that they were going to be able to capitalize on the death of King Uzziah. Suddenly, there was economic unrest all over the region, and it affected their entire then known world. Everything was set into turmoil, and the people of Judah knew it, and the people of Judah had some fear. They had great concern because they did not know what was going to happen next, what was going to transpire next. They were watching their freedom. They were watching their greatness begin to slip away with the death of one man because of his leadership. Now, in my lifetime and yours too, I think I can say this with confidence. I have never seen economic unrest, and I have never seen political problems in my lifetime more than what we are experiencing right now in our nation and in our world across this great nation, the United States, and of course, the entire world. Now listen to me. When there is a vacancy, when there is an absence of American leadership on the world stage, there is a vacuum then of that leadership all across the world, that people that are out there who hate the freedom that we enjoy. And by the way, they hate the God that has built this nation, the God that we worship, those adversaries of freedom, those adversaries of God, they are licking their chops. They are out there and they're looking for ways to capitalize. And you mark it down, they are cheering and they are doing what they can to undermine us and doing everything they can to be able to take precedence and take power over our nation. You rest assured that is the case. When there is an absence of American leadership on the world stage, this will happen. They will do it. That's what we've seen in the world over the past few months. I don't know if you've been paying attention or not. But 1 year ago today, we could have never imagined some of the things that were going on that are happening right now. Could have never imagined it. You want to know why Russia right now has 175,000 troops on the border of Ukraine threatening to invade them? It is because there's a political problem. There's a vacuum of leadership. You want to know why Iran is threatening God's people in Israel and chanting death to America now louder than they ever had before? It is because there is an absence of American leadership on the world stage. There's a political problem. Do you want to know why that China is threatening Taiwan and they're just waiting perhaps for these Olympics to end before they make their move? You want to know why that they're doing that? It is because there is an absence of American leadership on the world stage. Do you want to know why that the European Union is pushing around the United States for the first time in their existence, so blatantly at least? It is because there is an absence of American leadership on the world stage. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a political problem that is going on in our world today, unprecedented to anything that we could have ever known or anything that we could have ever imagined in our lifetime, and it's happening right before our very eyes. I encourage you today to pray as you have never prayed before, because you need to understand that there's going to be challenges like we have never seen if China acts on Taiwan, and if Iran acts on Israel, and if Russia acts on Ukraine, all collectively at the same time. We've got a problem in our nation, a problem in our world. There is political problems everywhere we never saw coming a year ago to this very date. We never saw the political problems coming as well based upon the COVID-19 virus that has swept across our nation. Such division that is happening. Political problems that are everywhere. It is crippling this great nation. It is crippling this land. And it is based off of political problems that we are facing right now. You see, all of these things are nothing more than rooted in power and money-hungry agendas that are out there. in matters of reality just 1 year ago, we never saw us in this particular position that we are in now. 1 year ago, we never saw the peace, prosperity, and even patriotism of our nation change the way it has to the point that we are at right now. It is remarkable, remarkable how quickly we have handed over so much of our freedom that we have come to enjoy and expect. But you better hold on. It's not just about freedom. If you're paying any attention at all, it's amazing how much of our sovereignty as a nation that we have handed over to this world. A world that hates us. A world that hates the God we serve. The God we love. You think it doesn't matter? It does matter. You hand over your freedom. You hand over your sovereignty. It has everything to do with the gospel reaching this entire world. It matters. You better get your head around this. It matters. It's remarkable how quickly we have just handed over this freedom and this sovereignty. 2 years ago, we could have never imagined in America being forced to quarantine, being forced to go into isolation of perfectly healthy people. First time in history that's ever happened. But you know what we did? We did it. We handed it over. 1 year ago today, we could have never imagined being forced to shoot our bodies full with a vaccine, and in some cases, four times stronger of a dose than what was originally said. But you want to know what we did? We did it. 1 year ago in America, we could have never imagined that we would allow them to shut down our businesses and tell us if we dared to open up our doors, we would be fined and in some cases arrested. But you know what? We did it. 1 year ago, 2 years ago in America, we could have never imagined that places were telling you you could not assemble in a place of worship. And if you did, it could be the same threat. Could be arrest. Worst case, best case could be fines. But you know what? We did it. And we let them do it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get our heads out of the sand and realize we are handing over freedom. We are handing over sovereignty. And it does affect the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The courts are flooded right now with cases challenging all of these things. The fact of the matter is, all they have to do is flood the courts with them because they're still going to get the agenda done as long as it's tied up in the courts. And once it goes to a certain level, it's nearly impossible to reverse. We could have never imagined the immediacy of how all of these things were going to happen. And the political problems that we have experienced in our nation. Yeah, you listen to me. It's been a bad year. But it goes a whole lot more deep. It gets a whole lot more personal than just this matter of political problems. But there's also been a whole lot of personal pain, hasn't there? You can put the political problems aside for just a moment. They are real. And don't think that they're not. There's been so much personal pain we've experienced this year. You couple that and you add it on top of the political problems. Yeah, it sure seems like it's been such a bad, bad year. In the year that King Uzziah died, when we study the book of Isaiah, we learn that it is actually beginning right here with chapter number 6. Did you know that? Oh, it's true. The previous 5 chapters, they bear the name of Isaiah. But when you really study it, you learn that they don't tell us a tremendous amount about this great and mighty man of God's life. But when you come to chapter number 6, that's when you really start to learn a bit about this man named Isaiah. It is so interesting to me how Isaiah introduces himself to us with the announcement of someone else's funeral. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah was mourning the death of a friend. We'll see, that's true. But Isaiah was mourning the death of a nation, or what it could have been. that's where he was. Everything I've said today is a lightning rod to this point, to our modern day society right now. But I want you to understand, I am in firm scriptural territory right here by telling you that you better pay attention to what's going on in our nation right now. Because Isaiah saw it coming. Isaiah was mourning the death of a nation. And it ought to bother us. I know people out there who just don't. Look, I've met people before, and you have too, I'm sure, maybe in your years of life. They want America to suffer. They want America to experience the things that other third world countries have experienced. Look, I get it. We don't know what it's like to hurt. We don't know what it's like to struggle. We don't know what it's like to suffer. But you better be real, real careful about that. It's the gospel. It's not about how much comforts we have. Or it's not for me. I hope it's not for you. It is about the gospel. And it is here that Isaiah is dealing with this very matter. It's the death of somebody he loved. It was the death of a nation. He's announcing himself and his ministry right here with the death of a friend. You see, Isaiah, he loved Uzziah. He ministered to King Uzziah. He was his advisor. He was his friend. He was just like family to him. He was an affectionate friend in every way. He had an affection for him. These guys were tight. He helped him through, make decisions of the nation. As we read, we can see that Isaiah, as you sense the reading of it and the wording of it, you can sense that he's doing everything he can to hold back tears here. Because his whole world has just been shaken. It's just been such a bad year. He's doing everything he can to hold back tears because it wasn't just about a nation. It wasn't just about a king. But he was grieving and he was mourning because he had just lost somebody that he loved. He was having to bury somebody that meant the world to him. I look around here this morning and I see so many empty seats of people that were with us 1 year ago. The Lord has taken them on to heaven. These were people who were vibrant in their own way. They were special people. They were involved and they were impactful in this local church, this local assembly, this ministry. I tell you what, we have ordered more flowers. We have prepared more bereavement meals. We have attended more funerals. We have shed more tears over those that have passed on and crossed on over than any other year before, perhaps in our lifetimes. Seems like we got blindsided by it, though, doesn't it? Came upon us in just such a hurry. Sure, we look around and we see all the empty seats, but thanks be to God, we know those folks are okay. How we rejoice today. They're on the other side, cheering us on. They're over there, as the writer of Hebrews says, that so great a cloud of witnesses. They're waving their hanky and they're saying, you come on, you fight on right now through another year. You stay faithful to God for another year. That's what they're doing at this very second. We know they are okay. It's not just about the empty seats we see. When we look around, we can see the empty hearts. We can see the hurting hearts. We can see the broken hearts. We can see the loneliness of those by whom have been left behind. Those that are having to finish this race on their own. Having to fight another day on their own. It's remarkable to consider how great things were going, how optimistic we all were for the future. Plans of expansions were developing for Linwood Baptist Church. But then suddenly, due to COVID shutdown, due to complacency of so-called God's people through the COVID era that we are living through, and due also to the changing of the guard that we have experienced right around here, It's incredible how quickly things have changed. I mean, it is incredible to see that. We see these political problems that are everywhere, and whether it be in political problems or whether it be in personal pain, it sure appears as if it's been a bad year. But I don't want you to zero in on that too much. I want you to circle your mind around the bad year. We've experienced it. We've admitted there's political problems on all sides of the globe. There's personal pain that we have all experienced, but the story doesn't stop there. And you need to understand that the story never stops there for the child of God. Though there was the immensity of success, of their success, and then there is the immediacy, the intensity of their struggle, but understand this. There is the inaccuracy of my statement. The inaccuracy of my statement. And when I talk about the inaccuracy of my statement, I'm not talking about anything having to do with the Word of God and any inaccuracy having to do with that. I'm talking about the inaccuracy of my statement when it comes to my title. It's been a bad year. It is an inaccurate statement. In other words, while it seems like it's been a bad year, and we've explored some of that, all the political mess, all of the personal pain and sorrow that we all experience that we're living in and through, God, in the middle of it all, has still done some good things that, eternally speaking, far outweigh all of the bad stuff that we get so hung up in. And I tell you what every one of us need to do today is we need to put that behind us in 2021. Lock our eyes upon what God has got on the horizon. He's left us here for a reason. In Isaiah's day and in his life, things sure looked bad right then. But yet, in the middle of it all, you get this, God gave him a majestic scene. There's a majestic scene in the year that King Uzziah died. You see, Isaiah was having a bad year. It was the year that all of the power behind the authority of the military, he was now gone. Isaiah was having a bad year because the overseer of economic prosperity, he was gone. Isaiah was having a bad year because of the enforcer of earthly righteousness, he was now gone. Isaiah was having a bad year because his affectionate friend, he was now gone. It was a bad year. Everything seemed to be falling apart. Everything was cast into turmoil. Everyone didn't know what to do next. I mean, everything was so uncertain, but yet in the middle of a bad year, Isaiah goes on to say, I saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse number 2 said, above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, now get this, holy, holy, holy. Did you get that? Holy, holy, holy. I'm going to tell you again, holy, holy, holy. If you realize he's holy today, why don't you help me? Holy, holy, holy. He's holy, he's holy, he's holy. You want to know why old Isaiah said it 3 times? He said it to represent the very Godhead itself. Holy is the Son of God. Holy is the Spirit of God. Holy is God the Father. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Jehovah God of hosts. The whole earth in the middle of his bad year is full of his glory. As this scene is unfolding, we see verse number 4 in the post of the door. Imagine the move of God we see right here. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Isaiah, woe is me. He said, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen a move of God like this. I'm sure having a bad year. I've never seen God show up the way he's showing up right now. Now I'm in the presence of God. and all I can say is, woe is me. I got to take a step back right now. I'm in the presence of God. You want to know why that we don't ever take a step back anymore? You want to know why that we're coming to church, having our rock concerts, coming to church looking like the world, talking like the world, acting like the world? It's because we don't know what it means to really be in the presence of God. Isaiah said right here, woe is me. I can't handle this anymore. I got to pause right now. Why? He says, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. In other words, Isaiah is saying, I've been so hung up in my bad year that I backslid on God. I've been so hung up in my bad year. I closed my eyes. I closed my ears. I closed my heart to who God really is. I've been so hung up in my bad year that I've not trusted His provident plan in all things that He's doing. It was right here in the middle of old Isaiah's bad year. He saw himself in a way that he'd never seen himself before. He saw himself for that carnal. He was a man of faith. But that carnal, that backslid, that wretched, that rotten, that good for nothing who truly was hell-deserving sinner that he really was. And he said, God could never use me. I see myself right now in the glory of God. Why would God even attempt to use me? I don't get it, Isaiah is saying. You see, when you really see God, He'll show you how messed up you really are. Maybe you've experienced, but people will say, you're a different guy. I could take you to a place where God met with me one day. I could take you to a spot where He changed me. And I don't mean in salvation, but He changed me. And people will say all the time, I don't like this new person that you are. I tell you what, God could have never used my life the way I was. It's not to say that I've arrived. Do you understand that? Not at all. It is a journey that I am on right now. But there's no way God could have ever done anything in my life the way things were 10, 15, 20, whatever years ago. There had to be a process. There had to be some woe as me moments. You realize, dear God. Dear God, I've never seen Your glory this way before. Never known it before. Never experienced it before. And it'll be then that you realize what a privilege it is to serve God. When you see God for who He is, you realize He don't have to use you. He got all these other options. You look at the filth of who you are. Why are You even talking to me, Lord? Why are You even spending one moment of Your time? Fact is, Isaiah was scared to death by what he saw in his own self today. Today we need to get scared at what we see in ourselves. We need to get scared. Why? Why was this so evident? I love verse number 5. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That was a big statement for Isaiah. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord host. He said, my eyes have been so set on the keeper of my military. My eyes have been so set on the overseer of my economic prosperity. Mine eyes have been so set on the earthly enforcer of righteousness that a great spiritual awakening had come from. My eyes have been so set on the death of my greatest friend, the closest person to me. He said, it's just been
bad year.
But I'm okay now. He says I'm okay now. Because God in His goodness has shown me a little bit of His glory. I've gotten a glimpse of it. And the supreme sovereign authority of who He really is. Now you hear me. The way to prolong your bad year, and the way to doom the one that you're facing, the one that we're in right now, is to make your threats overshadow His throne. It is to make your worries overshadow your worship to Him. It is to make your grief overshadow the greatness of His glory. Hear me and look at me right now. It does not matter how bad our year gets. It does not matter how hell is raging. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It may look like it's been a bad year. In the middle of it all, God's just been so good. He says, "Mine eyes have seen the King." Isaiah, realizing what makes this such a profound statement, is he realized that though Uzziah's throne had been vacated, a greater King, the King of all, was still firmly seated upon His throne. Sometimes God has to put us in the middle of a bad year to bring us to the realization of who He really is. How great He is. How big He is. Sometimes you've got to put us right here in the middle of a bad year to set our eyes back on Jesus. I think about what we may call, it's been a bad year. And look, the fact is, it's been, as I said, it's had some struggles. It's had its sorrows. Had its challenges. It's had so many, many difficulties. And you and I are no different. We get so weighed down with all that. We miss the fact that God has been still so good to us. And you and I had better learn to acknowledge that we've experienced His glory through the grief. We've worshipped Him through the worries. We've seen Him on His throne through all of the threats. My mind is taken back to a March 15th Sunday morning in 2020. Don't you remember? When with a heavy heart we stood here, right down there, and felt like we had to suspend services, not knowing what was going on. But I believe that heaven will reveal one day the results of what happened on the other side due to a worldwide broadcast that we were able to do then. We don't know. But God did some good things, I think, in the middle of that. I received messages, maybe you did, from people I didn't even know, from Louisiana, from Texas, from Korea South, about how God was using this place. We'll never know, in spite of being out of Sunday services for 7 straight weeks. We never failed to see God not provide every one of our needs financially and even surpass what we could have ever imagined, even in the middle of a bad year. It's been a bad year. But 2021, we gave more to missions than we've ever done before. Though it may appear to have been a bad year, there are more times than I can even number, that I can even count, where God has visited this place. God has shown His glory in this place. In the middle of a bad year, God answered a prayer in this place that I have been praying for years. Asking God to do something that I that I just didn't have a lot of control over, and I needed God to intervene. I needed God to give the open door, and I sit back in marvel. Melissa and I were talking about it this morning and how God stepped in and He met a need in the middle of a bad year. Just in the middle of a bad year. I could name people after people after people. Bet you could. Who weren't given much hope of life through 2020. But yet in the middle of a bad year, God raised them up. God raised them up. Though it may appear to have been a bad year, sinners have still been saved. I could name child after child after child who in brokenness, tender-hearted, came to know Jesus as Savior. I could name a little teenage girl at youth conference, bowed the knee on an old, hard, concrete floor in front of 3,500 people and got gloriously born again. I could name a Jamaican young man. Somebody got a burden to see saved. Went to praying. Some others caught a hold of that burden. Circumstances developed that brought him to this place right here on a Sunday morning where the conviction of God was great. It was thick. It gripped hold of him. And he got saved. I could tell you adult after adult after adult who in the middle of a bad year realized they didn't want to go to hell. Gave their heart to Jesus. It may seem like it's been a bad year. God's still been so gracious. So good to us in ways we could never imagine. So what was the secret to Isaiah experiencing this in the middle of his bad year and him coming to that realization? We see it in verse number 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged. It's a fascinating study to consider this coal that came from the tong that the seraphim was bringing. It came off of the altar of prayer. Touched his lips. Isaiah stopped wallowing in his bad year. And he got right with him. He said, I'm not going to get hung up in all this stuff. I'm not going to worry about political problems. I'm going to pray for it. I'm not going to worry about the personal pain. I'm not going to worry about all the signs of everything that we've lost and how it's just been such a bad year. But I'm going to get my life right with God, and I'm going to do what I can to make sure that even in the middle of a bad year, I never miss His glory again. And that led him to a meaningful surrender. And you see it right there in verse number 2, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? What a picture of the Godhead again. Who will go for us? Then said I, Isaiah said, here am I. Here am I. Dear God, it's been a bad year. Political problems everywhere. Personal pain everywhere. But when I saw you and I got my eyes off of all of me, I saw me for who I really am. and I understand why you could have never used me the previous five chapters. And I understand why now I had to go through a bad, bad year. Timothy and Lexi, y'all get up there and y'all get ready to sing that name and song for me. Thank you so much for it. The rest of this chapter, the rest of this book, we see how God took this man's life and he changed a nation through it. The political problems, yeah, they went through them. The personal pain, he got victory over whatever the detail of it may have been, he got victory over it. And we see how God took it, and we see how God used this man to change all of humanity. How it's affecting us today. And God used him to do that. See, God, he got all of the missing, all of the hidden pieces of Isaiah's heart, and he started putting them all back together. And the record that we have of this man in the Word of God, Isaiah chapter 6, hear me, it all started in the middle of a bad year. I believe God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Though it's been a bad year, we can still see God. We can still rejoice in Him. We can still worship Him. And maybe this morning some of you just need to do as I've tried to do this week. Maybe you just need to find you a quiet place. Maybe you just need to say, dear God, in the middle of a bad year, I'm just going to start writing a brand new story. I'm going to do as Isaiah did. I'm going to see your glory this year. I'm going to look past the greed. I'm going to look past the threat. I'm going to look past the worries. I will see God in the middle of a bad year. You listen to him now. Stand to your feet. This right here is what we've got to do. We've got to be committed to going down until we get God. In the bad years.
Prophecy, fancy miracles for all to see. Just the words. Go down seven times. So as Naaman made his way into the Jordan River that day, I can't help but think what was on his mind. As he slowly reached the water's edge, it rushes in over his head. He looks to see if the curse is washed away. Oh, does he say, I keep going down, getting back up, but I see no change. I feel no touch from you. Lord, where could you be?
And there, this year anyway.
This water's dirty and it's cold, but there's healing in it. So I'm told a miracle, but I've yet to see. But I'm staying here until you're through, until I get a hold of you. I'm gonna keep believing, but until then, I'm gonna go down again.
Like me,
I know what I feel deep inside. I've heard your voice a thousand times, but now it seems so long ago.
When's the last time you really
said, God? And I'm still trying to believe that somehow you're listening. But I would like a sign so I could know. Surely there's hope left, yeah.
Yes, there is.
'Cause you wouldn't just forget. I'm fighting on my knees to get to you. So this is what I'm gonna do. I'll keep going down and getting back up till I see a change or feel a touch from you. I know you're hearing me. This place is dirty and it's cold, but it's holy ground. I know it's so a secret place where you will meet with me. So I'm staying here until you're through, until I get a hold of you. I'm gonna keep believing, but until then, I'm gonna go down again and again. I'll keep going down and getting back up till I see a change or feel a touch from you. 'Cause I know you're here. Oh, this place is lonely and it's cold, but it's holy ground. I know it's all a secret place where you will meet with me. So I'm staying here until you're through, until I get a hold of you. I'm gonna keep believing, but until then. So I'm staying here until you're through, until I get a hold of you. I'm gonna keep believing, but until then, I'm gonna go down again.
Heads are bowed all across this place. I wonder today, do you really know Jesus as your Savior? As these continue to pray, our chief concern is to make sure that you know God. You may have had a bad year, like most of us have in ways. But I tell you what separates many of us from maybe where you're at is we've had the hand of a great big God to hold all the way through it. Your loneliness and your emptiness, you can't seem to identify entirely. I'm telling you right now, it all comes down to the fact that you need Jesus in your life. And I want you to have the opportunity to trust Him today. And so with everybody else's heads bowed and eyes